Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante sitting in for Dustin. I'm with Greg Pickle, and it's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by DraftKings. Get in on the playoff action this weekend with the DraftKings Sportsbook app. From odds boosts to free bets, DraftKings has it all. And to top it all off, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering their best sign-up offer to date right now. You don't want to miss it. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code KSN. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out with their sign-up bonuses up to $1,000. Don't forget to use code KSN and get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each of them up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Greg, guess what time it is?
I know what time it is.
It's time to see what grinds your gears.
You got it.
As I said at the start of the show, this is a blatant ripoff from Family Guy.
That's right.
I don't mind. Love the show. Love Grind Your Gears. And I'm going to let you go first, Greg. What grinds your gears in the college football world?
That it's 2020, and in the NFL and in college football, we don't have a buzzer for the delay a game. How many times do you see it go to 0-0 and then a play happens? It helped Penn State. It helped multiple teams in the NFL over the weekend. It comes up every single game. And it's preposterous that the explanation for that, Jim, is, well, the back judge has to look up at the clock, see zero, then look down, then throw his flag. Why is there not a buzzer like there is a shot clock? It makes absolutely no sense to me. And then beyond that, they have to find a way in 2020 to spot the ball better. In tennis, when a guy hits a ball down the line or a girl hits the ball down the line, they can zoom in to, an inch and see if that ball is in or out. In football, we have guys that are 50 yards away sometimes spotting a football, and they have no clue where the guy is. They come in, nowhere near where the ball is spotted. There was one game over the weekend in the NFL where the guy was about a yard and a half off of where the spot should have been. So, to me, it's very frustrating, especially in a world like we live in, legalized gambling, DraftKings, of course. You know, these outcomes matter to people. They always have. They always will. They have to be better about doing things that make sense using common sense to get these things right.
Wow. You came out of the gate firing.
Well, as soon as you told me we were doing this, I had to think. I've been thinking long and hard about what I was going to discuss in this segment. And that one was far and away the leader of the list.
Well, your idea of having the buzzer, it just seems so easy. Why not?
Right.
Again, like you said, they have that for the shot clock in basketball. Well, I'm going to go into the officiating world also. And you'll never catch me rooting for Ohio State unless, of course, I've placed a bet on them.
Yes.
However, not to let that taint my opinion, but the Ohio State-Clemson game, whether you think the play was a fumble, a catch and a fumble,
yep,
or an incomplete pass, you've got to at least concede. You know what? It was pretty close either way. I've talked to several people and asked their opinion, and it's been split about 50-50.
Yep.
Is that not the case when it's ruled on the field,
right,
a catch, a fumble, that you need overwhelming evidence? What part of overwhelming evidence did they miss on that play?
Yeah, I mean, and again, this goes back to the idea of officiating and the inconsistencies across the league. I mean, the guys I watch football with, we call Sunday Flag Day because that's what it's become anymore in the NFL. It's the ball is incomplete or is it or is it not a catch? Oh, wait, is there a defensive holding flag 50 yards from where the guy was tackled? There's inconsistencies across college football and the NFL, and I get it. It's not an easy job, but the only solution, Jim, is making these guys and girls full-time officials. And, you know, it's not good enough to be a lawyer for 8 months of the year and then officiate the NFL from, you know, August until January or February for the ones who get to go to the Super Bowl. It needs to be a full-time job. There needs to be an understood, cross-game consistency on things, just like you're talking about. In that game, they changed the call and made it an incomplete pass. In another game, it probably would have been a fumble. And there's no rhyme or reason to why that call was made other than, you know, it was how the official on that play felt.
Well, the whole thing, I understand the idea of full-time officials, but how difficult is this overwhelming evidence idea? I don't have to be a full-time official to know there was not overwhelming evidence there.
I mean, honestly, what really agitates me, Jim, is that, you know, if you're sitting back, it feels like if you sit back and you have a couple of Labatts and you watch the game, you can see the call. And I get that we have TV and we have instant replay and all this stuff, and they're doing it live at a high speed and all that. But you know what? If you have replay, use it. And don't use it for silly stuff. Use it for what it matters and makes a difference. I love that idea of the sky official, the one that can buzz in and say, hey, you guys missed this or you missed that. I think the NFL has to adapt that sooner rather than later.
Well, it was like in the NFL this past weekend when they called the guy caught the ball in the end zone, the kickoff, tossed it to the official who dodged the ball, and he said it was a live ball.
Right.
And an official from outside said, no.
Right.
He gave himself up. And common sense prevailed.
That was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. I think I tweeted, but that guy should have been relegated to the Big Ten, the official that made that call. I mean, that... Jim, you see that a guy catches it and flips it to the referee. I mean, then there's people saying, oh, well, he didn't have to be, why is laziness being rewarded? It's like laziness. He called it and flipped it to the official. That's what you're supposed to do if you're going to, you know, why does he have to take a knee?
And there's precedent. This is what has been happening over and over and over again. All right. I'm going to move on to my next one, which is the timing of how come Penn State Cotton Bowl. New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah.
So let's play it on December 28th.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. And play the playoffs on the 28th too.
Yes.
And this goes back to the whole bowl tie-in thing and how silly it is. I mean, you know, the college football has given a lot of its flexibility and scheduling maneuverability, I guess you could say, up to the bowl association and allows them to pick and choose when they want things to happen. I mean, it's ridiculous that, you know, New Year's Day is not both of the playoff games and the Rose Bowl. It's just what it should be. And get rid of bowl tie-ins, period. I'm sorry. I understand the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have played in the Rose Bowl forever. But you know what? How about you open it up, and that way you can get some more fan bases in some different areas of the country, perhaps, in these New Year's Six games.
Instead of Notre Dame playing Iowa State and Penn State playing Memphis, what would a Penn State Notre Dame game have done ratings-wise?
Would have been amazing. It would have been absolutely amazing.
Exactly. All right, you're up. What do you got?
Let's go to back to Penn State, since we've spent a lot of time on the NFL and other parts of it. What grinds my gears about Penn State defensively is the fact that the corners never – we talked about this a segment ago, but – why do the corners never turn around and play the ball? I know that Brent Pry is not teaching them, and Tim Banks and Terry Smith, they can't possibly be teaching these guys to just run straight at the receiver and never look for the ball. I mean, Jim, there was a play in the Cotton Bowl where I'm almost certain, I think it was Jaquan Brisker, but I can't remember. But, you know, the guy didn't even know the ball was there until it flew by his head. You could see him go like this and watch the ball go out of bounds. I mean, he had no idea it was coming. They have to fix that because... again, to take the next step, we talked about it before, but, you know, you have to be able to defend. And I know it's harder than ever to defend the pass game, but you have to be able to defend it. Penn State struggled in that area this year.
Definitely. All right, I'm going to do one more on the scheduling with the bowls and the playoffs. Why is it we have the semifinals December 28th and we have to wait over 2 weeks?
Yeah.
They always complain about the football season is too long for these scholar athletes, yet – we have to wait over 2 weeks to go from the semifinals to the finals.
Why? I was blown away. Honestly, I woke up on Monday and thought the championship game was that night. And one of my buddies was like, no, it's next Monday. I'm like, what do you mean it's next Monday? Why? I don't get it. Someone will have to explain to me why there is that much time needed between the semifinal game and the playoff title.
Well, all year, all they needed was 1 week. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I've got one more I want to sneak in.
Go ahead.
And I am going to blame you. I'm going after your industry.
All right.
You people. Greg. All right. I'm listening to the Franklin's press conference after the game. I'm waiting for someone to say, hey, coach, what was your thinking with your use of the timeouts at the end of the first half? And it's not asked. Finally, let's ask a final question. I'm like, please ask that. And I actually wrote it down. Here was the last question.
Uh-huh.
All right, and you tell me, Coach Franklin, what does it mean to you to be the first Power 5 coach to beat a Group of 5 team in a New Year's 6 bowl game by more than 10 points?
Yeah.
That was the question.
That was the question, yes.
That was the question you people asked him.
That's a fair complaint, Jim. I agree. The one issue that happens at these games is that they open the locker room. They have the star players in they have everyone else in the locker room. The head coach is at the podium, and the star players in this game were Journey Brown, Micah Parsons, Sean Clifford. They're over in another room. So there's three places for the media to possibly be, and they really – so I do believe that if that game was at Beaver Stadium or if it was at a road venue, that would have came up. But there was just no Penn State media in that room to ask James Franklin about that. But you're right. It's a question that should have been asked.
And that question that was asked –
I assume that was from somebody in Memphis who wanted to paint the picture of, you know, what the Group of Five, Power Five dynamic is. But yeah, that's a bizarre one for sure.
All right. We have one more minute left. Do you have another one, Greg?
I don't know if I do at the moment. I mean, Antonio Brown, I guess, makes my list. Why does he keep tweeting things? Why does he one day say he doesn't want to play in the NFL, one day trashes the NFL, one day is going to sign with the Patriots? Now he's just releasing music videos. I don't understand that guy even a little bit.
I'll extend that. If you're an NFL wide receiver, is it not part of the job description you have to be a prima donna?
Yeah, so that's true. But, I mean, Chris Godwin's a good example of one that's not, at least.
That's the exception that makes the rule.
Yes.
I want to go back also just because I feel like I am obligated anytime I get on the air and can complain about the playoff selections, and the playoffs are four teams only.
Yeah, and not eight. Yep.
And not eight, where there's a direct line. Here's how you make the playoffs. You win your conference, and then you move on to the playoffs. That, my friend, grinds my gears.
There you go. That's a good one to end it on. I agree with you, Jim.
Fantastic. All right. Stick around. Next quarter, we are going to ask Greg. Stick around.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN to get in on the playoff action. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
With the college bowl games and pro football playoffs approaching, what better way to celebrate than treating your guests to the best in barbecue with the rubs and sauces from 409tailgateclub.com. They also have great gift boxes. And don't forget the famous 409 Tailgate Club Bloody Mary Mix. To top it off, if you go to 409tailgateclub.com, use code KSN for a special discount just for Keystone Kickoff listeners. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and remember to use code KSN.